It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Norm was out on the casting call, who did Cheers turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When Mike Tyson became the youngest heavyweight champion in history and no sparring partners could be found, who did the champ turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now, this world-renowned barfly slash pugilist has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only...
He's only mortal, folks.
Paul LaVoy.
His pronouns are he, him, and hungry. Really?
And welcome to Speak Out. It is Thursday, August 20th, 2026. Boy, we're ready, aren't we, Brandon?
Ready.
Still doing research. I've got my research department right here to the left of me doing all kinds of political research. That's a good title for you, actually.
Political researcher?
And editor.
Yeah. I get called a lot of names.
Brandon Bowers from the Today's News Herald is here. And, we're kind of chilling talking about the upcoming candidates forum. We made that announcement about a week ago today. And, it's a real thing, folks. We're going to do a general election candidates forum. That's kind of something new to us. We did it the last time, but only for the school board, remember?
Yeah, we haven't done it every election because there isn't always a general election when it comes to local races. Sometimes they get it figured out in the primary, and what's the point locally of doing anything when there's no local candidates? But this time we have some candidates.
Hence being in a predominantly Republican county.
That's right.
That's what happens.
That's right. They get selected, supervisors, all those county races get figured out in the primary. You might get a token Democrat running, but they're up against a big climb, right? So
sure.
that debate rarely makes sense to hold. But we've done it the last couple of times. We've gotten a good audience at these events, so we're excited to do this one.
So, okay, you mentioned token candidate, right?
Yeah.
It seems like anyone who runs against Paul Gosar is called that, but I don't know about this year. This is a weird year. And Danielle Sterbinski has been here before on Common Ground, not to campaign or anything, but to be a guest. And I don't know her that well.
You know, I don't know her that well. I know she's made a couple of trips out here. She's got signage up all over the place. I think she's one of the stronger candidates we've seen emerge against Paul Gosar. But he's the perpetual candidate. He runs, he gets elected. So it's anybody's guess. If I had to bet money on it, Gosar has shown time and time again he gets reelected.
Right, and absent anything, his predecessor kind of got into some hot water, as you know. You know, absent anything of that, I think maybe he has another 2 years, maybe four. I don't know. It's hard to say.
He's been there a long time. He's got to be thinking about his exit plan. If not immediately, it's got to be in the back of his mind. So who's the successor? I don't know.
That's what I mean. Here locally, is that something that is decided by that team, or is it real democracy in action?
Your guess is as good as mine. I know the Republican Party is strong here. They decide among that group who gets to run and who's filling the seats. But sometimes you get a name that's so prominent, that's done such a good job of resonating with people that I'm sure the decision is just let's keep him in place because people know that name.
That's kind of what happened to Hildy. You know, I mean, I spent some time with Hildy recently down in Phoenix on my birthday weekend, went to a ball game and that, as listeners know, and I asked her about that, and it was more of a, you know, I'm just really tired of the machine down here. And she was ready, and she's going to Westcare, actually. I didn't know if you knew that or not.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a treatment. Well, you know what Westcare does. I think they dole out funding for treatment centers, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, well, that's been her baby, and on the supervisors,
right.
And in the state house, she's done some things with mental health, and I think that makes sense.
So then that kind of led the way for Leo, because he's termed out in the House,
that's right,
to run for the Senate, and unopposed, of course. But I mentioned Leo because he's going to be our master of ceremonies.
Yeah. Has he agreed to that?
He has.
Oh, good.
He has.
Good. News to me.
I'm picturing a Bill Maher or a Bill O'Reilly or something walking back and forth on the stage, right? Cracking a couple jokes here and there. I don't know.
He's got the stage presence. We talked about Leo as a possibility for that. I'm glad to hear that he's agreed to do it, because I think he'll bring some gravitas to the stage that you and I don't have.
Speaking of gravitas, I'm going to start at the top. So we know Katie Hobbs is not going to debate Andy Biggs in any form, let alone ours. She won't
That's
even
right.
do the clean elections or the Arizona Media Association debates. You know that, right?
Yeah, I've been reading about it. She's taking the Joe Biden approach, I guess.
In a way, I can kind of see why, especially on radio. If you don't see her, she comes across as very young. You know, it's the voice. That's what I think anyway. But there's a possibility John Giles could be here.
That would be great. He's been, my knowledge is he's not really speaking to the traditional media. They definitely are talking to some people. It's not the people that you and I normally interact with. So it's people who that party likes or that political candidate likes. But it's not Howie Fisher, who we have down in Phoenix doing stories for us. So we have to rely on other news sources for news about John Giles.
Does Howie actually write for you guys?
If we ask him to write something specifically, he will. He's writing for
Capital News, right?
Capital News Service. Mm-hmm. A lot of newspapers subscribe to him. Radio stations too, I think.
Right.
He shows up on PBS every once in a while. He's been there forever, but we rely on him for most of that state house coverage that doesn't relate directly to Lake Havasu City.
I think he does the yellow sheet, too. I think that's what it's called.
I have no doubt. Yeah. Well, that's AZ Capital Times, and
right.
I don't know. He may have been affiliated with that at one point, but I don't think he is anymore.
See, we use Arizona News Audio,
uh-huh.
So Jeff Scott and company, so they do a great job at the Capitol as well. And then you have Andy Biggs is running with Sign Kerr. Now, we know a lot about Andy Biggs, obviously,
yeah.
as a congressman. Mrs. Kerr, or Miss Kerr, she's a dairy farmer from Buckeye, from what I understand.
Yeah, which is, the west side of the state, at least.
It's rural.
You know, it's as close to a Havasu interest as we're going to get out of somebody running for a state office.
I thought it was an interesting pick, but I thought it a little strategic because she's rural and she's
mm-hmm.
conservative. I would have liked to seen Karen Taylor Robeson myself. She can raise money. She's more of the Jan Brewer type, kind of in the middle.
You know, it's nice to see other names. So we've seen these names, Robeson and Andy Biggs. All these guys have been in the forefront of the political scene for a decade, right? So it's nice to see somebody else emerge. We'll see what happens.
But it seems like Hobbs went for the power ticket, you know?
It's an interesting strategy.
Yes.
She went for somebody who might have some crossover power, which she needs in a weaker, you know, in a system where we're a purple state, right? When most of the people are Republicans, though, she's really needing to appeal to those centrists. Getting somebody who used to be a Republican and is now an independent on that ticket is probably a smart move for her.
Used to be like what? I think he converted in May. Or like it's been like three months.
You know, if, on paper, he was a Republican, I guess, until May. But he's got to have some appeal to somebody.
Right. Then you have Risa, with an R, Lombardo. And Terry Horahan. And I think Horahan's committed.
She's coming
to be here.
We have not had a gubernatorial candidate on this stage before, so that's exciting. I thought she was No Labels Party. It says she's not registered. I can't
she's
remember.
She's a PND.
Yeah, I can't
Party
remember.
Party not declared.
Party not
Just
declared.
Just like me.
So that's that weird situation where the No Labels thing has gone back and forth on what's going to be allowed on the ballot and what's not, and it's I can't remember what form it took for this election, but she's going to be here, and that's exciting.
Then you have the House of Representatives, District 9, of course, CD9, incumbent Paul Gosar and Danielle Sturbinski.
Yes.
And I wouldn't be surprised if she committed. I'm not sure about Mr. Gosar, though.
Gosar, you know, I think he's made an appearance. He's telecommuted because he was in Washington one time for this forum. Steve at the radio station here says Gosar has been at our forums in the past. I don't remember that. So it's more often than not he's not been able to attend this thing. I don't think he will this time either.
Okay. Okay. And Attorney General Chris Mays and Warren Peterson. Mays, the Democrat, of course, the incumbent, and Warren Peterson, the president of the Senate. Their debate, their clean elections debate, or I believe it might be the Arizona Media Association debate, is that night.
Yeah.
Is the 23rd of September. So probably don't expect to see them. Secretary of State, I would love to see Adrian Fontes show up. I'm not sure it would be a happy reception or a positive reception, but then you have Alexander Colladen, who has been to Mojave County recently, and Dwayne Collier.
Yeah, I don't know much there.
I don't know about Collier.
You know, this forum is interesting because I think it's pretty receptive to people who may not be in line with the local opinions, because it's not a shout fest. It's not an opportunity for the audience to yell, even though, yes, we do get some reaction. It's an opportunity for the candidates to get up in front of a stage, answer questions that we've come up with ahead of time, and do so in an organized manner. So we get real answers. Hopefully the audience walks away informed. And, you know, if that person is somebody who is counter to what a typical Havasu belief would be, at least the people here got a chance to see it and consider their ideas on the other side of the field.
All right, absolutely. State Mine Inspector, I believe one of those candidates is committed.
Yeah.
That you have Les Presmick and Brian Matlock. Is it Presmick that's committed?
That sounds right to me. But that's an interesting one. We've never had the Mine Inspector. We were talking about that yesterday. We really need to research that role, because I don't think voters really know what the mine inspector does. We should know before we get on that stage with them, because there's some real interesting things that they do, and we need to find out who the best person is for that job, because we get the opportunity now.
So from the title, they're in charge of inspections, right?
That's right.
I would imagine any mineral claims or anything like that on a property probably go through there.
Right.
I don't know.
And mining is so important to Mojave County, to Lake Havasu City years ago. I mean, this area was all mining. But Arizona in general, right? It's one of the five C's, copper. So it's so important to the history and to the ongoing economy here that we really ought to give it more attention.
And then you have Superintendent of Public Construction candidates are Teresa Leyba Ruiz, and she's the Democrat, and Kimberly Yee, who upset Tom Horn as far as the incumbent goes. I don't know about an upset, but she definitely defeated Tom Horn in the primary. Those are the candidates. I would be interested to see if both of them showed up. That would be nice.
Both of them, they bring interesting ideas to the table. Tom Horn went, he got pretty involved with that seat. As soon as he got it, we started getting press releases about what he was going to do. And sure enough, he got some of that done. So it would be interesting to see him defend that and see what else he's got planned. And Yee, you know, I believe she's a former journalist even, so she's interesting to me for that. But she's done a really interesting job in her current role. And to see what her intentions are for an education job is also pretty interesting.
She's the current state treasurer. Those candidates are Nick Mansour for the Democrats and Elijah Norton for the Republicans. I've had the opportunity to interview both of them on Speak Out. It's a very interesting difference, although you have to wonder, is there any partisanship in investing the state's money?
You know, there always is partisanship in these things.
How does a Democrat invest different than a Republican? That's
right.
Kind of what I'm saying. So who's the most qualified there? I guess we'll have to make up our minds at the forum. So Corporation Commissioner, I would love to see one of these five candidates here. Kevin Thompson, Jonathan Hill, Clara Pratt, Mike Cease, and Ralph Heap. I believe the first four are incumbents.
Yeah. You know, unfortunately, these are names that don't really mean much to people here, and they should, because we've seen the power of the Corporation Commission when it comes to things like utility rates, right? We've had the electrical rates go up quite a bit around here. There are other forms of utilities that have had to go through the ACC around here, and all of those require a bureaucratic process before they get approved, and yet these raises have consistently gotten approved with little pushback. We're seeing a difference now because I think the volume locally got so loud on these things that the ACC took notice, but they're still getting approved when they go forward. So it would be interesting to see those people come here, defend what they've done. What would they do differently? I would like to see them on stage as well.
Yeah, and it seems like access to Unisource just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. I mean, there's not even a local office to drop off your payment anymore.
That's what I hear. But they're building a new headquarters on London Bridge Road. I don't know what the process is of that. That building plan did go forward through one of the boards here recently in the last year. So that should be an interesting development when it happens.
Oh, no doubt. Development. Nice one. Good pun. All right. Let's go ahead and take a short break. And, again, we're talking about the Candidates Forum coming up on September 23rd. That's a Wednesday. And doors open at 5. Event starts at 5:30. That'll be on the air here on KNTR Talk. And that's at the Performing Arts Center at the high school.
That's right.
There you have it. All right, where did my note go? Here it is. Got a note from Marissa June. On this date in 1948, Robert Plant was born in the, what is it, West Midlands in England. Okay, perfect. Got some other Zeppelin birthdays as well. I believe it's a birthday. No, but it is Jimmy Page related. Of course it is. It's Marissa June updates.
1948. All right.
Yep. So this is one of his solo projects, In the Mood. I love this song, Robert Plant, and I believe I had this album, if I remember right. All right. You're listening to Speak Out, 928-854-5687. Want a pair or two pair of Diamondback tickets? Give me a call. It's for Saturday, 5:10 p.m. first pitch against the Cincinnati Reds, and you can get one of those purple Haboob snow globe, if you will. It's a Haboob inside of a globe. It's like a snow globe, but
that's
it's a
funny
Haboob. Yeah, kind of cool. All right, back with more in a moment. I'm Paul LaVoie, along with Brandon Bowers, editor of the Today's News Herald. Believe it or not, Brandon, I have this album.
I believe it.
Yeah, Pictures at 11. This is a good album. I think it was Robert Plant's first solo effort. But, yeah, Robert Plant's 78th birthday. Brandon figured out the math during the break. Kind of took you almost the whole break.
You know, I went to school in California. What do you want?
You did a good job. I was like, yeah, that does make him 78. Robert Plant, 78. That's just hard to fathom right now. Hey, congratulations to Sheena. She picked up 4 tickets to this Saturday night's Diamondbacks games, Diamondbacks and the Reds. And hopefully they play better coming back home than they did in Boston. Boy, Red Sox just reeled them on Monday and Tuesday for 20 total runs. Mm. It was crazy. No Ketel Marte, but we're going to find out today probably what happened to him. He's supposed to have a meeting with Derek Hall, from what I understand. So stay tuned for that if you're a Diamondbacks fan in the nation. And Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage. Love those guys. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, by TWN Fiber Internet, Salmon's Air Conditioning, Western Arizona Regional Medical Center in Bullhead City, and Booby Falls Restaurant and Rodeo, Main Street, Havasu. Have you tried it yet?
I have not been there yet.
The pizza's great.
I hear good things.
Dallas brought some pizza over. It was pretty amazing. Yeah, this was a good album. I might go dig that out and play it if I can find a turntable. No, I still have one. It's packed away, though. Why, right?
I have one.
It just takes up more space.
Yeah.
You still have it?
Turntable?
Yeah, is it set up?
Yeah, it's in my back room in my house. What I can't find is good records for a good price because, you know, they're $40, $50. I don't want to spend that much on every record.
Talk to me after the show. Looky-Loos, from what I understand, is pretty good vinyl.
Is that right?
Collection, yeah. I don't know. Might not be our taste, but it's Scott's taste. So.
Well, it's good. I hit up the thrift stores and look for good vinyls.
Right.
And, it's usually some kind of polka or 1960s, you know, so what you would expect to find.
I guess up on Beale Street, there's some vinyl stores.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, in Kingman. So, you know, one of the big surprises for me this election was Mike Canusio's performance.
Mm-hmm.
in the primary. And, yeah, Brian McMahon, the Democrat, Mike Canusio, and David Rose, the Republicans, and I expect all three of them that night at our candidates forum. So that's, again, September 23rd, 5 o'clock, and, yes? Oh, who does? Oh, he does. Okay, he has about three table lengths full of vinyl.
And looky-loos.
Right, you could have jumped on the headset, you know, and participate. Anyway, that's going to be an interesting race, I think.
I think so, too.
So, and then you have Leo, of course, running unopposed in Senate District 30. Lake Havasu City Council, Jenny Koch, Neil Tinsley. What do you know?
What do I know? I know that's a strong race. They were within a couple hundred votes of each other. Neil was slightly ahead of her in the race. What is different this time around is all attention is on these two versus seven candidates running for this the council in the primary.
That's the interesting part.
Yeah, and that race got so dirty, not with these guys, but in particular, the council and the mayoral race got so dirty and so mean. I'm hoping we don't see a repeat of that this time around. I think it'd be nice to see people debating the issues for what the issues are. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's my whole thing is trying to figure out whose votes are going to transfer over to which runoff candidate, right? Out of the seven candidates.
Yeah.
You've got those. You got their totals. You say, okay, put 90% of these on this, you know, on this candidate, 90% in this one, 90% in that basket, and then what do you come up with? It's a tight race.
Yeah, and we'll see what is the power of social media? Because we saw that play a big role this time around, and what comes out, what lies are spread, what rumors are spread, all of that was a factor this last time. If that factors in again, I don't really know how to predict it, but...
Is there anything yet? You guys follow social media pretty close.
We do.
And you have the Orchids and Onions group also.
Well, I mean, that's
is that your group?
That's a common misunderstanding. No, Orchids
really?
And Onions is a longtime feature of the News Herald. We've done it for, I don't know, decades.
So the group isn't yours, though?
The group started after our feature. It started on Facebook. Facebook came out in, 2007? The groups kind of came out a couple years after that. So obviously Orchids and Onions was a known thing by 2007, and somebody created a group called that. Inevitably, there's probably 15 other groups called that now as well.
Right.
And we can't control it. It's some other person controlling these Orchids and Onions groups. We get asked all the time, is that something we do? Can we take something off the page? And we say, we have no control over it. It's not ours. At one time, I seriously considered changing the name of the feature in the paper, but nobody really wanted to do that because we've had it for such a long time. It's such a branding thing, and we like it.
I was going to say, how are you going to do that?
Yeah. inevitably somebody would steal that name too. So what do we do?
Maybe so.
Yeah.
Right? Now we have school board candidates for Lake Havasu Unified School District. And then you have three of them, Brandon Rooney, the son of Mr. Rooney.
That's right.
Rebecca Main. And she ran for assessor 2 years ago, and then Lisa Roman, the incumbent.
She's running for re-election. Interestingly, Roman has the support of the existing school board, I believe, the members there. So that's been an interesting development because in the last race, it was a little more contentious than that between that group. So they apparently like working together, and you know these other two candidates definitely bring interesting ideas to the table. We're doing the same thing in the paper. We'll be asking these guys questions every week. On specific issues to get a better sense of where they stand, to let voters separate the candidates from one another. So we should be able to tell you a lot more about them in a couple of weeks here.
Yeah, that's a tough one. And Lisa, if you remember, 4 years ago, won that race or won her seat by one vote.
It was not uncommon on the school board.
I don't remember the names.
Yeah.
It wasn't Sharon Harvey. It was a Sharon. Anyway,
yeah, Sharon Harvey was on the board, but she had to step down.
I think that was her name. Anyway, yeah, Brandon Rooney, Rebecca Main, and Lisa Roman. You'll be hearing about that race more in the coming weeks for sure.
Yeah.
So we got to get to Joshua is coming in from the Omega Combat event that's going. I think it's the 29th. And, mixed martial arts and Muay Thai.
Yeah, I know that there's a lot of excitement about that. Brianna Winner, my sports reporter, has been talking about it quite a bit, so I think she's intending to be there to cover it. It should be fun.
Oh, that should be fun. So I'm not familiar with that discipline, but I don't know. Is Brianna?
No, not to my knowledge. I just think she likes all things competitive. So
oh, she really? It, right? She got a competitive reporter. Go figure. Brandon, always good to see you.
Thanks for having me.
Again, folks, Brandon and I will be asking the questions. Are we the designated question askers, or are we the moderators this time?
Well, we may be up on the stage doing some of the microphone work, but thankfully Leo's going to be there, I guess, so that's he can take some of that pressure off because, you know, I have a face for newspapers.
And I have a face for radio, for sure. And, this one's a production, of course, of Radio Central and the Today's News Herald. So we're doing it.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right, perfect. Paul LaVoy along with Brandon Bowers. He is the editor of the Today's News Herald. And, again, Joshua is coming in next for the Omega Combat event. And, no, I do not have Diamondbacks tickets. I'm fresh out.
Hmm.
So that's a good feeling, actually. All right. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you.
All right. Right, little LL Cool J, Mama Said Knock You Out, takes me back to some Ring Talk days, back in the days when I worked in AM radio. So Joshua Sedgwick is here, and J.J. Nelson, Omega Combat event coming up, right?
Yes,
on,
sir.
On September 29th?
August 29th.
I'm sorry, August 29th. August 29th, my bad. Yeah, I should remember that. All right, August 29th. And that is at the Aquatic Center, correct?
Yes, sir. All Aquatic right. Center, that'll be Saturday. Yes, and then Friday before will be Wayne's and Face-Offs.
Perfect. We are going to talk more about that in a second. Speak Up brought to you in part by The Chair, also by Mojave College, Solar Power by Esme Electric, Doritos Place for Pets, Legacy Rehab and Care in Bullhead City, and AMB Propane online at abpropaneaz.com. Don't forget, folks, shop local, spend local, eat local, and play local. And here's a local. You know, I've said for a long time that an event like this would really take off here. Has this ever been attempted before? Mixed martial arts, Muay Thai, and what were the disciplines?
And kickboxing.
And kickboxing, thank you. Has this ever been done here before?
So, funny enough, because I went to high school here, graduate class 2015, what I've been told is that there's been cage events here like 15, 20 years ago,
right.
But they were never successful. They were very disorganized. And I started doing all this competition, the fighting stuff, media, hosting events back in 2020. And ever since then, being a local here, I've been getting people that's been just demanding, like, get something out here. We need it. We need it bad.
What's set up the on radio for me? What's the ring going to look like? Are we talking about a cage?
It'll be a ring. It'll be a 20-foot by 20-foot boxing ring.
A roped ring. Okay.
Yes, sir. It'll be 3 feet off the ground, so all the fans that's going to be there,
oh, wow,
they're going to get a nice view. Ringside is pretty cool because I have a barricade around the ring, and ringside gets to sit inside.
Yeah.
Then you got the premium right behind it, and I even got VIP stage seats too, so you get a whole view of the event.
Pretty sweet.
Really?
View.
Is that like over the overview of the ring itself?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, because you're like on the stage, it's like 3-4 feet up high as well, so you get to see everybody, the whole event, and the whole experience.
Are these sanctioned by a body? Are there who's refereeing? How what is the structure of the event itself, the fights?
Great question. So we're sanctioned by ISKA, their International Sanctioning Kickboxing Association. One of the U.S. directors, his name is Corey Schaefer, outstanding
okay.
gentleman. He's sanctioned and hosted thousands and thousands of events internationally.
Mm-hmm.
So he and I, we actually have a really great relationship because we're both very, very big on advocating for fighter opportunity and fighter safety. So we're going to have a full legitimized, fully sanctioned commission coming in with referees, with judges. It's going to be a true, almost professional experience.
Nice. Yeah, I heard about the event through Patrick Boffman.
Yeah.
Of course, Against All Enemies. And Patrick's a fighter himself, or I know he used to be. But JJ, if Joshua, you're the promoter, right?
Yes, sir.
What's your role in this?
He was making appointing me the head of security because I have done another security event for him in the past. Mm-hmm. So, and we go way back. Like he said, class of 2015. So wow. That's where me and him, you know, kind of clicked there. And then I'm a professional fighter myself. I haven't fought in 2 years, but. You know, I'm kind of working through some things. I'm trying to get back up in there, but that's where I kind of throw my experience in there. Sure. And everything. And then me with my ambition on being security, giving that a shot and seeing what I can do in that and seeing what I did with the last event that was held in Phoenix. This one, I just want to make sure I can do the best I could possibly do for this man right here because he's done a lot for me in the future. So I just want to push hard going
nice.
Forward.
What discipline? Where, how do you fight? You fight, you know, the Muay Thai or kickboxing?
I do MMA.
Oh,
so
really?
I do in the cage MMA. So I'm kind of unorthodox style. I do. I'm kind of maybe going to pivot to kickboxing. I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to move towards boxing this year. I'm kind of going to push towards that. But maybe in the future I can give kickboxing a shot. But boxing is my main focus right now. But
where did you start? Were you a high school wrestler?
Yeah, that was funny enough. That was one of my obligations to get into fighting by my stepfather, Jose Porto Carrero. He's known as the Peruvian Piranha.
Oh, he's a professional.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely
wow.
a professional.
All local here.
Very cool.
Yeah, he got me into it mainly, but he was my pretty much motivation doing it and getting me into it and all. And my condition was I had to go through 4 years of high school wrestling. So I did that.
How well did you do?
Well, the first 2 years, you know, well, let's say freshman, sophomore year weren't so hot, you know. And then, but my junior and senior year, I placed state twice. My senior year, I got fifth at state. I was trying to go to sectionals, but you have to podium, get mm-hmm. to third to get there. So, you know, I was a little short, but it was just the experience, you know. And then my record was, I believe, 44-5,
oh,
44
wow.
and 4 going into it. So it was a good experience. It was at the, I think, the Honda Center somewhere, mm-hmm. I believe it was called. It was a big stadium. It was a nice experience, but that was my base.
Yeah, and wrestling is one of those sports, just like kickboxing, mm-hmm. Muay Thai, your mixed martial arts. It's about personal best, isn't it? It's about improving yourself.
Always. Every day you want to get 1% better every single day and push yourself and just never quit and just dedicate yourself. You want to dedicate yourself to this sport. It's a tough sport. Itself already. Wrestling's already tough. And if fighting is just all the MMA, mixed martial arts, everything, wrestling, boxing, karate, everything put into one. So it's just the discipline in it. You got to be dedicated.
I noticed from the commercials that it's very affordable. You've made this very affordable to the public.
Oh, yeah. One of the things that I've always been very keen on is I don't want to be another promoter or promotion that's just trying to make a big buck and then dip out, not trying to overcharge people, because especially in today's economy, everything's expensive. People need to save money, so I want to make sure it's affordable, and I want it to represent as a promotion that's by the people, for the people, of the people. Mm-hmm. So, and I have that same mentality with the fighters, too. I'm always very, very adamant on fighter safety, promoting them, and figuring out the best algorithm for them to be successful in their own right.
How do people get tickets?
They could get tickets online at omega-combat.com. I actually have the full fight card breakdown there from top to bottom. So we got 13 fights. Our main event is Jake Armenta versus Isaiah Turner.
Where do I know that name from?
Isaiah?
Jake Armenta.
So he's actually the number one ranked amateur lightweight MMA fighter in the state of Arizona.
Wow.
And top 10 in the Southwest.
I have heard that name. So
yeah. Every single fight, 6-0.
He might have fought at one of the events I worked at the Avi. They do have the mixed martial arts there once a year. So
yeah,
very interesting. Tell me about what you call the face-offs.
The face-offs, I love the experience. So it's always the night before. We'll have all the fighters. They weigh in, do their thing, they rehydrate. And then I love to create the theatrics where we'll call up each fighter one by one, starting from the main event. Have them face off for the pictures, look pretty for the crowd.
Oh, okay.
It'll be open to the public as well. And then we'll have the next fighter come in. We'll do official face-offs between them. And I have it at the Bridgeview Room at Chagrus, so you're going to get the London Bridge
sure.
in the background too. And then from there, just...
What about a weigh-in?
Weigh-in, they'll be part of it too.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, so when I call them up, for example, they'll step on the scale. Official weight, 145.2. Cheer, plaw, move on, then they face off
cheer,
and go through.
Plaw. I like that. And you see every tattoo known to man, right?
Oh, yeah.
Every design you can think of, for sure. No, what weight classes are we talking about?
So these are actually kind of a unique mix of weight classes. kickboxing and Muay Thai, they traditionally do similar to boxing where there's 12 different ones at these different odd numbers. Mm-hmm. I made mine simple. I mirrored it based off of MMA. So it's 125, 135, 155, 170. A lot of these fights are catch weight, so they're a bit in between to kind of meet them in the middle. But I did it as a way to kind of make it easier for these athletes because the majority of these guys are MMA-based.
Sure.
And a lot of them, they train with UFC fighters, and they're ready to turn pro. So I mirror it to make it easier for their weight cuts.
You know, there's people out there that say you just go in the ring and you fight, right? It's not quite that simple. There's a lot of personal liability involved here, right? I mean, you can really hurt somebody if you know how to hit them in the right place. That's kind of what you guys avoid. It's more of a competition, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the biggest thing because, obviously, if you rewind the sport back 20 years ago, it was a blood sport.
Oh,
that's,
it was.
That's the way it was
perceived.
There
was a movie called Blood Sport.
Exactly. All those old school movies.
Ideas.
Yeah. And still to this day, you know, it's trying to combat that stereotype, but kickboxing and Muay Thai is very more newer niche compared to, like, mainstream MMA and boxing. So we do a lot of heavy emphasis on the fighters, making things fair, objective, and just providing these opportunities.
Yeah, we don't get to talk sports enough on Speak Out, so I'm really enjoying this segment. 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. If you have a question for Joshua or JJ, and Joshua Sedgwick, of course, the promoter for Omega Combat event. Again, it's on August 29th at the Aquatic Center. Mm-hmm. How many people can you fit in there?
I could do upwards of 1,200.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm trying to make this go big or go home. After this event, when people think of Lake Havasu City, I want it to be known as the Fight City, bringing all the talent in. Because this is ultimately serving as a pilot. Mm-hmm. Next year, I want to do 4 or 6 shows, host a tournament out here, because I could bring in hundreds, if not thousands, of people from all over the world.
Well, these guys come in and they have teams. Any women on the ticket? On
the
card?
Yeah. I have Julia Petrosius versus Kaylee Fennell.
Those are the fun ones to watch. I'm sorry.
And what's crazy is that they're both 5'11", they're both 6 foot, 160-pound catch weight. Julia, she's from Kingman Riot MMA, and then Kaylee, she's from AZ Combat Sports, so this would be kickboxing. I can guarantee you from start to finish, they're going to be just throwing haymakers left and right.
The women are going to scrap.
Really?
They love scrapping.
They do like to scrap. No, I've seen some very interesting fights where one guy just got kicked just right, flew across the octagon. It was wild. So you have these teams coming in, and they're obviously going to be here for the one night, but they'll probably be here maybe 2 days before. Is there a gym where they can train? Where do they go?
They have multiple locations here if they wanted to hop in. Anytime Fitness, they have a sauna if they wanted to hop into a weight cut, if they need to hop on the treadmill. You have Bridge City Combat that's on Main Street, Taproom Jiu-Jitsu that's over on Kiowa, and there's also a Revelo Academy over by Jamaica.
Right.
So there's, compared to 10, 15 years ago, like when we were here back in high school, there wasn't as many of these resources, but now I think this is prime time to bring in an event like this because you have more of these facilities capable of keeping them on track.
Are these guys fighting professionals, some of them? Are they fighting for money? Is there a purse?
Not for amateur, so this is all amateur card.
Oh, okay.
Unfortunately, as much as I would love to pay fighters, in the state of Arizona, they don't allow amateur.
Oh.
But that's just to differentiate what makes you amateur versus pro. So one thing that I really focus on is how do I provide alternatives. I'm very big on not softening or padding the sport, meaning like how football nowadays, you could touch the quarterback on the shoulder, you get a flag.
Yeah, right, right.
For this, I want to provide a safety net. So let's say, for example, Fight of the Night winner, they win that prize, they get a $500 gift card for SRP.
Nice.
That pays their electrical bill.
Yeah,
they get a gift card to Safeway. That's food for their kids. So I think of that way and other alternatives that we can't pay them, but there's ways that we can help support them.
This seems like a sport that would really take off in the tribal communities.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. We have one person fighting out of the tribal community over in Mojave Valley, Mahi Smoking Cloud Eugene.
I've seen him, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. He just won Washington. He had a, what was it? What's the submission with the arm?
Armbar.
Yeah, he had an armbar in less than 30 seconds of the first round. Yeah. Just like that.
That's crazy. So tell me about your security credentials, JJ.
Well, it's just the first gig, let's just say I got brought up to speed on stuff I didn't know pretty quickly, okay?
Really?
That's all, I'll just leave it there. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And that's how I got a gnarly little scar right here above my eye. But it was a really good learning experience overall. Overall, it was just really good for me and the whole lead of security, or even, I wasn't even lead at the time, it was just being around and having an earpiece and being told, you know, well, where to go, what to do. It just, that was the main important thing, is direction and picking up, like, you know, on things in large crowds, stuff without seeing things without seeing it, you know.
Don't forget about the dark Ray-Bans.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, the intimidation glasses, you know.
Right. Are we talking about the drinks that you brought in?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to bring those in for you guys to try them out. That's one of the sponsors for the event.
Oh.
F3 Energy, that's actually ran and owned by Harrison Rogers.
Okay.
He's a big fighter advocate over in Phoenix, and he actually worked to help provide fighter insurance for athletes. He made this drink, F3, for athletes to where it's a healthier alternative versus traditional energy drinks.
Okay.
You have things that helps with mental acuity, develop a muscle. They do a lot of natural ingredients and very low in caffeine, so you're able to get things that's more beneficial to your body.
Now, I'm used to Celsius, so are we talking about on that same level?
Pretty on par with that.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty close to that.
Perfect. Again, it is the Omega Combat event on August 29th. What time are doors and what time do the fights start?
Doors open at 3 p.m. And then fights start at 4 p.m. Sometimes a rough time depending on how things are going, so maybe 4 to 4:30.
Okay.
But we'll kick it off with the early prelims. That'll be four featured fights, including somebody from Red Hawk Academy, where Sugar Sean O'Malley trains out of. I'm expecting one fight in particular to be an absolute fight of the night on the early prelims. That's Maceo Booker versus Nicholas Montillo.
Oh.
I guarantee you, for 6 minutes of this fight, you're going to see an absolute war.
Really?
I promise that.
Because they don't like each other?
No, because they're straight up dogs.
Oh,
Nicholas
okay.
Nicholas in his debut fight, he was like Max Holloway going straight in the center, throwing it left and right.
I'm going to say knock you out.
Quite literally. And Maceo, he trains out of Fight Ready, where like Henry Cejudo, Tracy Cortez, okay. These other UFC guys are out of. I've seen his footage. He's precise. He's sharp. And he got some bad punches, I tell you that much. So that one, I guarantee, is going to be a potential fight of the night.
You definitely have a knowledge of your sport.
Yes, sir.
Where did you get all that knowledge? Where did all this compile?
Oh, from everywhere.
You obviously have a keen interest in it too.
Oh yeah.
So it's like you're a sponge.
Yeah.
Right. But are you from Phoenix then?
I'm actually kind of from all over, from California, Nevada. That's where I primarily grew up, and then I moved here to Havasu during my high school years. But I live back and forth between here and Phoenix. I very first got into this 2020. I managed JJ for his pro debut.
Oh.
And then I also managed and helped get a couple fights for Patrick as well. From there, I ended up interning to do media. So I did pre- and post-fight interviews.
Hey.
I did videography, some photography, and additional podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
From there, I evolved into doing broadcasting and pay-per-view. So I would be the one running the pay-per-view. And then from there, on top of it, I ended up getting into matchmaking. Then I became like the Dana White, having to get these fighters to take the fight against each other, negotiate the way, get them the information, make sure they get their medicals done, all of that.
I got you.
And it got to a point where I just like, you know what? I'm very good at this. I love this sport. I grew up watching it, fell in love with it, and let's do it.
All right, a little Tub Thumping by Chumbawamba, right? This is one of those songs that's from back in the day.
Oh,
what do you want? I'm a
classic.
I'm a boomer, man.
The
what
classic.
Do you want, right?
Heck yeah.
No, I'm originally from Vegas, so
okay. The
fight vibe, definitely I can relate.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. That is Joshua Sedgwick, and J.J. Nelson's here as well there with Omega Combat Event. It is next Saturday, a week from this Saturday, at the Aquatic Center. And then you have the face-offs and the weigh-ins and all of that. I don't know what you call it. Smack talk?
Yeah, all the trash talk and everything.
Down the Bridgeview Room at Chagrus. So, anything else? Did we miss anything?
No, make sure to check it out. Tickets are on sale. Ringside and VIP seats are sold out. So, we got general admission and premium. Again, support your local fighters, Jeremy Beach and Nicholas Montillo. They are the local Havasu fighters competing. So, Shar, love for them, guys.
Get those tickets.
Omega-combat.com, right?
Yes, sir.
Omega-combat.com. Check it out. This sounds like a really legit event. So, and you got female fighters on there too.
Bingo.
Perfect. All right, I'm going to take it to break, come back with a final shot, and again, thanks guys for being here.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. We'll be back with more on Speak Out. Stay with us. Welcome back to Speak Out. Marissa June stepped in.
Hello, hello.
Probably
is this
her
on?
Yeah, it's
oh,
on.
Oh, there it is. It was my volume.
Probably your favorite day of the year, right? Robert Plant's birthday?
Well,
Jimmy Page is your favorite.
Yes, Jimmy Page is my favorite.
Yeah, Plant's cool, though.
So. Well, you know, of course, as a guitarist, I'm going to like the guitarist more.
Right. Plant's a great vocalist.
He is.
Now he's a little bit lower, more subdued since the Alison Krauss days. So.
Well, I mean, he kind of destroyed his voice with all those screams he did.
This is Hey, Hey, What Can I Do? Jimmy Page and the Black Crowes. Because Pagey, we have a date in history for Page.
Yes, we do. Today in 1990, Jimmy Page joins Aerosmith for a blues jam in London at the UK Monsters of Rock Festival Castle Donington.
I couldn't find it.
Oh, really?
I was looking for it. I couldn't find it. I figured there would be something cool from that. So, yep, just couldn't find it. Let's see. We're winding down. We got about 30 seconds left. Just want to remind you, we do have Speak Out tomorrow, and Jeannie Kench will be on the show. She's the county assessor. We're going to talk about short-term rentals for sure, and are they or aren't they a commercial property? That's be one of the topics anyway, and Jeannie has already confirmed. All right. Hannity's up next, preceded by Fox News.
See you tomorrow, meow.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.